Do y'all like to get blessed? Do your eyes need a blessing? Then you need to have your eyes blessed by feasting them on my wife, Sue. Hallelujah. This is my wife. I just want you to know, next to Jesus, this is the best gift my Father's ever given me right here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. She loves the Lord. You know, she was just a smooth heathen when she got saved, and I'm here as a witness. Both of us was. Just a smooth old heathen, wasn't we, baby? Glory to God. Yeah, buddy. Oh, we could tell you tales, but anyway, about both of us. We could share. We're amongst friends here. I tell people all the time, I said, you see these lines around my eyes? That's not just age. That's mileage. I was 33 years old before I got saved. I had a lot of the world, a lot of mileage from the world around these eyes. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God He didn't abandon us. Come and rescued us from hell. Glory to God. You're dismissed. Man, that's what it's all about. You know, the devil tries to send a depression and you know, discouragement and all that. You get to thinking about it, say, okay. Devil, all right, things aren't as good as I'd like them, but let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm never going to hell. You are. I'm going to heaven. I get to live with Jesus forever. You get to thinking about that, and pretty soon your feet get to moving. You just, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Even if you are a peaky white Gentile like me, feet still get to moving. Hallelujah. They don't move good, but they move. Anyway. We better pray. Okay, we better pray. Settle down here. Settle down. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father. Father, this is the way it's supposed to feel. Because we're in a family. We're not really even in a religion. When we gather like this, it's supposed to feel like family. Your family. We're all brothers and sisters. You're our Father. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for rescuing us. Father, look at these people. They've come out on a Tuesday night in America. That's almost a Red Sea miracle. Lord, they could be doing 1,000 different things. But they're here for one reason. They're hungry for more of you. Father, I know you're not going to disappoint them. Now, Father, I'm asking you once more. Give me the mind of Christ, His present hour thoughts for this people, and anoint my tongue, Lord, to make it as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth the mind of Christ with simplicity and so clearly that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. And Father, I ask you to anoint the ears of the hearers with ear salve. Cause the clamor of the world to grow silent now, where they can hear your voice and hear with their spirit what you're saying to them, to this local assembly, and to your church at large. Father, above everything else, we want you to have your way here tonight. The service is yours. We give you praise for these things in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Be opening up again to John 14. We're going to start there again. And while you're doing that, I don't know, since we have some new people here, I'm going to do a little review from last night. And there's two reasons for that. One, they need to see that visual demonstration. We're going to review that again. And for those of you that did see it, see, in Proverbs, we call Proverbs the book of wisdom, do we not? And there's several Hebrew words that are translated wisdom in that book. One of them, Hebrew is in a very unusual language because every word carries a picture with it. And in One of the words used in Proverbs for wisdom is the picture of a nail. It carries the picture of a nail. And I thought that was really odd for a long time. But see, it makes perfect sense because wisdom is that which is pounded in. Sometimes you got to hear something more than once. How many of y'all learned your ABCs just by repeating them once? How about your multiplication tables? It had to do a little pounding in, didn't you? All right, sometimes it's good for us. You know, even say, well, I heard that part last night. Well, it's good for you to hear it again tonight. It really is. Now, when I was praying about what to minister on during these meetings, he reminded me of something he said way back in 1998, and I'm going to do it a little quicker than last night because we got some more places to go. Is that all right with you? But I do want to read this because I was having, even though I was in a tremendous seeking time in a way, and I don't mean this by way of bragging or intimidation or anything else, I'm just telling you how it was. During that period of time, I was spending between 8 and 12 hours a day praying in tongues. And, I believe about anybody would call that pretty serious seeking after God. And he was talking with me in the sense of teaching me things. But during that period, I had some critical decisions to make, and I needed instructions from heaven. I didn't want to make the decisions on my own. I wanted to know what his decision was. So in my mind, I kept listening for instructions. I need to know what to do, Lord. And I asked y'all last night, I'm not the only one that's ever had trouble hearing those instructions. Is it still the same? Okay. So this was going on and going on. And what's funny, I had several questions written out, you know, and I need answers to those things. And I mean specific answers, things to do with instructions. But yet during those 8 to 12 hours I was praying every day, what he would give me was teachings, revelation, knowledge from his word. And I went, Lord, it's not that I don't appreciate that. I do. Don't you know I have decisions to make? I need instructions from heaven. Well, finally, everyone say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Finally, he spoke to me and he told me why I was having so much trouble. And I'm going to say this because I didn't say it last night. It seemed to me that because I couldn't hear it, it seemed to me at that moment that God, and I hate to even say this, but it seemed to me that God was withholding those answers from me. I found out later he wasn't. See, and that's scriptural because what does it say in James? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it liberally and won't even upbraid you, which means he won't even chew you out for asking. You know, so, but at this moment, I mean, I had to tell you what it felt like. I mean, I knew God had the answers. I knew that he knew what I needed to do. But boy, it sure seemed to me like he was withholding it, but he wasn't. Problem was, I wasn't listening right. My mind, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Here we go again. Watch this. Well, finally, the Holy Ghost came to my rescue, and he told me what the problem was. It was not that God never was withholding any answers. It was the way I was listening that was the problem. Because here's what he said. You are having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you are expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when his instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problem. You are still expecting his instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that they will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. Well, and I mentioned last night, I said the problem was we tend to be man-minded. Our brain tends to live in a room called what is possible in the realm of the natural. And most of the time, we're not even thinking that God might do something supernaturally through us to solve either our problem or somebody else's. Normally, our mindset is, Father, what do you want me to do? And He's trying to give us instructions that say, if you'll do this, it will allow me to move, God to move, Sam. I gave you that one example last night, and a quick review on that. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to go a different way. I'm not in charge. I told you the service was His, didn't I? Okay, He's got too much to cover. So you just have to get last night's tape for that example. It's already on last night's tape. But He does want to do that visual demonstration again. Now, did I tell you to turn to John 14? All right, I did good. And if I go there, we'll be in good shape. Again, for starting about John 14 is when Jesus is revealing to the disciples that He's about to be crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and then He's going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. Now, from the disciples' point of view, like Peter, let me just say I represent Peter here for a minute. You know, you have Peter forsook everything, as did the others, to follow Jesus. And they've been following Jesus for 3 years. And, you know, Peter left his fishing franchise. Matthew left his business as a tax collector. All of them left whatever it was they were pursuing in life because the Master had called. Now, I'm going to need to borrow the... Yes, now, I told them last night, wisdom is whenever you're visiting in another man's church and you need someone to represent Jesus, always have the pastor represent Jesus, see? Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost to come in a minute. Come right over here. That's good. Now, in this visual demonstration, now see, Jesus is telling them here that He is about to leave. Now, put yourself in Peter's position. He's forsaken everything to follow Jesus. He's risked his reputation. He's risked probably his finances. He is staking the rest of his life on following this man. And boy, has he seen stuff during the last 3 years. I mean, blind eyes open, the dead raised, the maimed made whole. Ooh, I mean, I think he's happy about following Jesus, you know? And I'm sure he's planning on following Jesus the rest of his life. All right? But now let's see what it meant for Peter to follow Jesus and compare that with how we have to do it. All right? Now, you got to understand, during those three and a half years, Peter could see Jesus. He could touch Him. He could hear anything that Jesus said to him with his natural ear. And if you got up, you know, if they camped along the road on one of their journeys through Israel and they got up in the morning, and if you wanted to follow Jesus, take off. You just followed Him. You know, wherever Jesus goes, I can see Him. Peter can see Him and he can follow Him. It's not a problem. So that's the way that Peter followed Jesus. Now, stand right here, Jesus. But now notice in John 14, verse 16, Jesus is trying to comfort them and let them know because, you know, they're feeling like they're going to be orphaned here. I mean, just abandoned. Jesus is leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? And he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Boy, if you underline in your Bible for this teaching, the word another is so critical right there. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So let's just stop there for a moment. Y'all know what happened. Jesus, the day came, he was crucified, he was buried, he was resurrected, he appeared to them again. But then they all watched as he went up into heaven, right? Then here comes the day of Pentecost. Here comes another comforter. Come on, Holy Ghost. And the reason I'm having a human person for benefit of the tape, I'm having a different person come up here to represent the Holy Ghost because we have to get it clear. When he says another comforter, that is a different person. Jesus is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not Jesus. Jesus, in his glorified body, is presently seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Therefore, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. We talked about that last night. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, having to find your own way, to happen to make decisions on your own. In other words, let me say it this way. I'm sending you a comforter who's going to provide to you precisely the same degree of leadership that I gave you, that I gave when I was there. None diminished. You'll be able to follow him as precisely as Peter followed me. There's only one problem. Can you see it's a separate person? And we made the point last night, I'll just quote it instead of turning there for time's sake. He says, now when this comforter comes, he's not going to speak of his own authority. What he hears, that's what he's going to tell you. Now the point he's making there is this. The Holy Ghost did not come to become your Lord. There is only one Lord. Who is that? The Holy Ghost has come not in competition or anything like that. He has come really as the representative. He is the go-between, if you will, between Jesus on the throne and you on earth. And the good thing about that, see, if we all had to follow Jesus while he was in his physical body, how many millions of Christians you reckon there is on the earth today? There's several million. And every blessed one of us that has to be following Jesus in his physical body. But see, if we look at the wisdom of God, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit because he is everywhere at once, all around the world, and they can all follow me by following him. And he's never going to try and do a revolt like the devil did and become Lord. He and I are in agreement. We're in no competition. He is here to bring my lordship to you. Now here's the one difference. Here's the one problem. Now come step right over here a minute so I can see my Bible. I'm Peter. Here's the Holy Ghost. You got that? Now I just got a person standing here, so get it in our brains once and for all. He is a different person than Jesus. It's really important we understand that. All right, now watch this though. Let me read my verse again. I will pray the Father. This is John 14:16. And he shall give you another comforter. There he is. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He's talking about the Holy Ghost, right? But now watch this. Whom the world cannot receive, because it what? Seeth him not. Sir, would you go sit down now? Now see, even though this person is going to sit down, y'all do understand? The Holy Ghost is still here by me. In this teaching, you understand what I'm saying? Now here's the problem. See, I'm going through here one day, I'm minding my own business, meditating my Bible, and praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm having trouble receiving instruction. I've been born again, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost for a lot of years the day this come to me. And I'm reading through here, and I'm going, even the Spirit of truth, yeah, Lord, that's the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, yeah, them no good sinners. Because it seeth him not. And I went, uh-oh. Jesus, I got a problem. I can't see him either. Look around, y'all. Can you see him? Look at what it says. It says the world can't receive him because it can't see him. And it doesn't know him either. But part of the problem is you can't see him. I felt kind of bad for a while. I started asking other Christians. I didn't really. I'm making this part up. But it preaches good. Am I the only one? Can you see the Holy Ghost yourself? With your eyes, can you see him? I'm beginning to think I was the only one that couldn't see him. You know, he says the world can't receive him because they can't see him. And I've got a problem. I can't either. Had y'all ever dawned on you what that says? And I was going, no wonder we've all got a problem. Says the world can't receive him because they can't see him. I don't know any Christians that can. What in the world is he talking about here? Shunned out of perditional tapes. But anyway, you want me to go on with this? There is an answer. He got it across to me. It took him a while. I don't know how many hundreds of hours praying in other tongues before he got this across to me. But it plainly says there the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because they cannot see him and it doesn't know him. Now Jesus said right to them, he says, you know him for he dwells with you and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. And again, for those that weren't here last night, the Greek word translated comfortless there is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, Orphanos. And he's plainly saying, I will not leave you as an orphan. Orphans, think about a little child that's an orphan, that's not in an orphanage or something, just out on the streets. It has no guide. It has no one to teach it. Has no one to provide for it. It doesn't know what's going to happen to it. And sadly, that's the way a lot of Christians feel, and that's the way I have felt before. I mean, I know what it says, but I can't help it. It seemed to me like I couldn't get any counsel. I didn't know where our next biscuit was coming from to eat on our table. You know, felt like an orphan, but I know he said he didn't leave me like an orphan. I was real suspicious. Part of the problem was me not being able to see the Holy Ghost. Because he says the world can't receive him because they can't see him. And I knew I had a problem because I couldn't see him either. Now, see, I didn't ask Pastor Christie. He probably sees him all the time. No, I'm making a joke. Now, before we even go any further, I want to mess you up. I want to mess up your religion real good. Is that all right?
Mess it up.
Sue says, mess it up, Gary. That's what I'm going to do, baby. See, we, Bora Labraston, to help me now. Help me, Lord. Kura Basinda Labrastos. I love this part. I love this part where we blast holes in religion about a mile wide. We have been so religiously brainwashed and so unspiritually taught. Now think about this. You reckon God's smart or dumb? I reckon he's smart. You reckon he intended for the lordship of Jesus to come to an end when he ascended up to heaven? Or for it to be multiplied? Well, now let's just think about this. God knows how we're made. And if people are able to follow Jesus during that 3.5 years when he's here, because they can see him, and because they can hear him, and they can listen to what he says, and they can obey what he says, do you reckon God saw that that was working? That's working, that part. So now, what he's really trying to do is increase the ministry of Jesus so that it's not, you know, the way it was right then. Jesus had to be in a physical location, and you had to come to that physical location if you wanted to receive from him. And God is wanting to expand his ministry around the world, multiply it in all these millions of believers. So then he provides a way of following Jesus that we can't do? That doesn't make any sense. And sadly, it's not your fault. What I'm talking about, I'm not picking on this church, I'm saying it at large. It's not the sheep's fault, it's the shepherd's. We have not taught the people how to mature their new nature where they can, for now let me say, see the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you right now, you cannot follow somebody you can't see. Plain enough? So now, with saying all that, do you suppose the truth, the real gospel, God has provided a way for us to see him so that we can follow him? You want to see it in the Word? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, we've only got 5 nights, and that may seem like a lot of nights. Honey, we're barely going to scratch the surface in 5 nights. But he's going to impart so much, it's going to take you a year to chew on it. How many of y'all still chewing on mustard seed faith? Hey, I taught it, and I'm still chewing on it. Glory to God. Well, I mean, it came through me. It was a mind of Christ, but it was glory to God. Now, look at this. You got to understand something about Paul and this particular church. Paul is their spiritual father. He was the apostle. He's the one that brought the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time ever to Corinth. There wasn't nobody saved when Paul got there. So Paul comes and he preaches the gospel. He tells them in one of these letters, he says, you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. I am the one that brought the gospel to you. Now what you got to understand is, when a person, before they're born again, There's only one message you can give them. There's only one that they can even comprehend. See, we'll get to that part in a minute. But watch this. Look at what Paul preached to them the first time he came, when they're just your basic idol worshiping heathen. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why? Until a person is born again, they can't be taught. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. I mean, other than a few little things like parables, that's why Jesus was forever teaching in parables and natural things that a man could understand. Nicodemus asked him, a couple of questions, and Jesus tried to explain it to him, and he couldn't understand it. And Jesus said, "If I've spoken to you of earthly things and you can't understand, how would you understand if I told you of heavenly things?" Isn't that something? He says, all right, now watch this. We're in chapter 2. We're not going to be jumping all around, but you can plainly see that when Paul first came, there's only one message for the sinner: Christ and Him crucified. Witness, give them the testimony of what God has done through His Son. You must be born again. There isn't any point trying to clean them up or do anything else till they get saved. Get them saved, dirty as they are. Just get them born again. Get a spirit in them that can be taught. Now watch this. Staying in chapter 2, come on down to verse 12. Now he's saying, when I first came, I had to tell you about Jesus. You had to be born again. But see that word now? But he's saying now that you're born again, now that we've been born again, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And you notice how that's got a little S on it, the spirit which is of God? That's correct. King James got it right this time. Because that's talking about the new nature. See, at your first birth, you were born with that, basically Adam and Eve had children, and that sin nature passed down horizontally on the earth, generation to generation to generation to generation, and there's spiritual death in that. That's why everybody has to be saved. You must be born again, because at your first birth, that's when you receive that spirit of the world he's talking about, and that's the one passed down from Adam. And you're born spiritually dead. All right, so he says, now, but once you're born again, it's not that spirit that you received. No, now you've received the spirit, little s, which is of God. That's that new nature that come on the inside of you. Well, why did God do that? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let's keep going here. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now what did Jesus say? I'm going to send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, and He is going to guide you into all truth and show you things to come. But the reason that there wasn't any point sending the Holy Ghost to them before, they had the spirit of the world in them. Couldn't be taught. But now you can. Now you can understand the things of God. But now notice, comparing mental things with mental. Is that what it says? Comparing physical things with physical. No, it's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now watch this. When he says, but the natural man. What he's talking about there is someone who is not yet born again. Someone who has the spirit of the world in him. Somebody who still has that death nature passed down from Adam. A person like that, until they're born again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now get this, neither can he know them. He can't know them. You can go to seminary for 95 years. And if you've never been born again, you'll never understand God. You'll never be able to... You can get legalistic. You can get very religious. But you're never going to understand God. You can't know them. till you're born again. Why? Because you discern them with your spirit. And that, my friends, is how you see the Holy Ghost. With your spirit. We're still looking for the Holy Ghost we can see with our natural eye. We're looking for the Holy Ghost we can hear with our natural ear. But you've been born into another kingdom. Your citizenship, your birthplace, your birth records are in heaven. At your core, you are a spirit. And you say this after me. I am a spirit. And I have the capacity to discern the Holy Ghost. The world can't see Him. But I can. With the eyes of my spirit. I can hear His voice. And I can follow Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can you see that's in here? Is this good stuff? He says, now look, that natural man, he can't know the things of God. They're foolishness under him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now he that is spiritual, and all that means is born again. If you want to make notes, I'm telling you, that's what that means. Don't put somebody up on a pedestal like they're a super spirit. All he's doing in this... Hey, these are babies here. The next chapter, he's talking to babies. This is not rocket science. Trust me, this is not rocket science. You want to talk rocket science? We'll get into Hebrews next time around. But in this one, it's milk for babies. Now, that's all he means there. He's saying... If you're born again, now see in the King James it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That's a horrible translation. The best translation there is discerns all things. Yet he himself is discerned of no man. Can I put that in plain English for you? You have access to supernatural information, knowledge, and wisdom everywhere you go because you have the capacity to discern the Holy Spirit. But the natural people around you, they're never going to figure you out. Because you do stuff that's weird to them. You rejoice when you fall into divers temptations to the world that's weird. When they lock you up in the stocks and put you in the prisons, you praise God at midnight. They can't figure that out. When people persecute you and hate you and revile you for your testimony's sake, they see you jumping and leaping for joy and praising Jesus. And they can't figure that out. And they never will be able to figure it out. Like I said last night, we ought to lock the doors. I think, well, I've been to so many churches in the last 2 weeks, I don't know what I said. I'll tell you what we could do, though. We could lock the doors. We really kind of ought to lock the doors. Pull the drapes. See, because these meetings, the kind we're having, they're for aliens only. You guys are not of this world, not in your spirit. We're in the world, Jesus said, but we're not of it. Yeah, these earth suits, these bodies we're wearing, you know what that is? Camouflage. It is. It's just camouflage. Those poor unsuspecting sinners, they see you walking up to them. They think you're a mere mortal like them. They think you're just an ordinary human. They don't know you're an invader from another world. Sent from Jesus to rescue them from hell. They don't know. You know? I mean, what if God made us look like one of those aliens, you know? I mean, like, what was the name of that movie?
E.T.
No, E.T., but what's it? Where they had the golden thing on the inside?
Cocoon.
Who remembers that movie, Cocoon? You know, and they had on some kind of rubber suit or something so they looked like humans. And that one guy one time, they just kind of peeled back the mask a little bit and this golden glow come out, you know. If we looked like that running down the street, how many people you think is going to listen to you? They're going to be running like, they're going to be calling 911. God had to leave us in this camouflage. See? that's really who we are. So let's see, we're trying to make this where we can understand it. Trying to get this. So let's see now. The Holy Spirit is from heaven. Okay, we understand that. And our spirit is from heaven. So heaven is our home planet, if you'll let me use that phrase. Or just say heaven is our home. So when the Holy Ghost talks, in a way you could say he's bringing you news from home. I would think that would be about the easiest voice to understand in the world. You know, you get a letter from home. Glory to God. Can't wait more to see what all's going on at home. And the Holy Ghost starts talking to you. It's like a letter from home. Glory to God. And here we've made a big religion and mountainous thing out of it, when really hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost ought to be easier than hearing the voice of your neighbor. Well, people are writing and good for you. Study to show yourself approved, the Bible says. Is this good stuff? Then I was going, that's why Jesus said the world, they can't receive the Holy Ghost. They have no spirit that can discern him. They don't even think he exists. Now, we can't see him with our natural eye unless he was to open your spirit. We can't see him with our natural eye any more than the world can see him with their natural eye. But see, they have no capacity. What did Jesus say? He's not only with you. He's in you. Well, that's only possible because there's a temple on the inside of you. That temple is the new nature. It's the Holy of Holies. Did y'all ever notice that the temple had basically three parts? There was the outer court. That would represent the flesh. Isn't that where the sacrifices were killed? The outer court. Then there was the inner court. That's where that would represent the soul, the intellect. That's where the incense went up and that kind of thing. But see, there was a Holy of Holies. Who lived behind that curtain? Oh, there was the presence of God Himself. And that is the Holy Spirit. See, you are a temple. It says you're the temple. We are collectively the temple. And you and... Hey, what if you was the only Christian on the island of Bora Bora? That is an island, isn't it? Okay. Pick one if it's not. But anyway, you understand? See what I'm getting at? Well, yet... See, people get all religious on me, and I'm trying to be nice to them, but I can't. But, Sue bristles. Anyway. She bristles around religion real quick. But see, I'll say something like that, like, hey, collectively we are the body, the temple of God. But then I also say individually, you are the temple of God. And then sometimes you get letters from jot and tittle people, you know. Well, brother, it's this and that. Well, let me just ask you this. Mr. Einstein, if there was an island full of natives who were idol worshippers, not one Christian there, and God dropped you by an airplane or something, by a parachute, and you landed on that island, and you're the only Christian on the island, now, who be the temple?
Hallelujah.
You be the temple, don't you? So that tells me collectively we are the temple of God. Individually we are the temple of God. Hey, it's possible to get that presence of the Holy Spirit, that very presence of your Father, to the point that veil can become so rent, you be so saturated. Hey, he doesn't have to stay within the Spirit, within that Holy of Holies. He can fill the inner court. He can fill the outer court. To the point that we can become like Smith Wigglesworth. Like that time when he got on that train. He didn't preach nothing. He didn't share nothing. He didn't mention the name of Jesus. All he did was get on the train and sit down on the seat. And the presence of God was so strong that grown men got down in the floor crying out for mercy. What must I do to be saved? You convict me of my sin. That's what we need in White Plains. That's what we need in Tulsa. That's what we need in Oneonta, New York. That's what America needs, and that's what the Muslim world needs to see. And the Hindu world. And the Buddhist world. Aren't we tired of religion? Give us life. Give us life. We've had a belly full of religion. All right, now, I wanted you to go back over to John 14. I think we've got that there now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Did y'all get that? Let me say it again now. Make sure you got it. No, we can't see Him with our natural eye. Unless God was to really do some kind of a vision thing. We can't see Him with our natural eye. We can't hear Him with our natural ear. But see, that's what we're accustomed to. If I want to get instructions from Christy or counsel from Christy, I'm used to calling Him on the phone, or if I'm in town, seeing Him and getting together. And I'm accustomed to getting instruction and counsel and wisdom, His mouth to my ear. And that's the way that Peter received it from Jesus. Jesus' mouth to Peter's ear. But see, if God didn't change that, then all of us would have to be in earshot of Jesus all the time to be able to follow Him. God's plan is really wonderful. It's religion that's messed it up. Because we've not trained our people. We don't even know hardly how to do it ourselves. We're just learning how to do this after 2,000 years. Learning how to discern. But all the time, Jesus says, that new nature, that is the temple of God. You get born again, I'm going to put God's nature right on the inside of you, and that becomes a dwelling place. The Holy Ghost has been with you the whole time, but once you're born again, now there's a Holy of Holies on the inside of you, and the Holy Ghost is going to fill that place, and that's what we call the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, He fills the temple. He's in you. Amen. Now He can give you those visions we talked about last night. Now He can give you those dreams. He can speak to you from the inside out. I'm going to give you one of those tonight. I'm going to give you an example of that one tonight. Glory to God. How much time do we have? Oh, we're doing good. We're doing real good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got to ask you this quick. Can I play with you a little bit? Can I ask you, can I trick you? Go ahead and say, I'm going to anyhow. You might as well say yes. But you'll like it. As long as I won't ever hurt you. Now, I'm really asking this question, though, and I mean it. How many of y'all would like it if Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, began sending over the next 12 months, no matter how much money you're making now, how great or how little, how many of you would like it if He would send you an extra $4,000 a month to your house? How many of y'all would like? Can I see your hands really? Okay, for benefit of the tape, I think we've got every hand here, okay? I think most people would like that if the Lord would send you, and if you could hear an instruction where if you did it, an additional $4,000 a month would come to your house. Would you like that? That exact thing happened to us a year and a half ago. Came by an instruction of the Holy Ghost, and it did exactly what we read here tonight. It released Him to move. We didn't do anything to cause it to happen. Are y'all interested in the second half of this message? Now, if Lynn was here, I'd say, for additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. She groans when I do that. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Most of y'all know we have a ministry of tapes. We send teaching tapes all over the world. The way God told us to operate ours is that we send everything free. We send it postage paid. There's not even a return envelope in it. We never let anybody know what any of the needs of the ministry are. And that's just the way He told us to do it. And He said, now, if you'll do it the way I tell you, if you just follow those instructions and be precise to do it, then His promise to us was, He says, I will speak to the hearts of the people that I choose to support you and the work of the ministry. And He's been doing that for years. Well, during the early part of our, when we first started doing that, Sue and I were it. We are the ministry. We're chief cook and bottle washer. You understand what I'm saying? We making all the tapes. We putting on all the labels. We, you know, handwriting out originally the labels, sticking them on the bubble mailers. Didn't even have a postage machine, so it, you know, putting the stamps on there, you know. And her sister, who lived with us for a while, now she helped for a little while, but I mean, it's a lot of work, and the thing just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. And we didn't even have the computer set up then. We were doing it with a big, giant ring binder. Joe Smith. Boom. Okay, we sent him this many tapes last month. Let's send him these tapes this month. Mark that down. But it was getting to where, you know, the more, I mean, there wasn't anybody else to do this. Everything's being done for free. Oh, by the way, money was staying away in great abundance. I mean, you know, we look back on those days, we don't know, we can't even make it add up. We can't figure out how we survived, but we did, you know. But we were real careful to obey those instructions. Well, anyway, it got to the point, there was so much work. And at the same time, I kept feeling, I knew God wanted me in my prayer closet a certain amount of time. So I was almost felt like I was between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, he told us to send these tapes. On the other hand, I kept feeling almost condemned because it seemed like in order to send the tapes, it was taking more and more of my prayer time. And I could see this was just going to get worse and worse because the tape ministry was getting bigger and bigger. We had a few hundred people on there at that... Hello? A few hundred people on there at that point. And if it continued to grow, I could see quickly, well, we're not going to have... You say, well, why didn't you hire anybody? There was no money. You know, unless we could have got volunteers or something. But, I mean, there's no money to pay anybody. So I just went to God and I said, Lord, I kind of feel between a rock and a hard place here. I mean, it seems like I'll disobey you whichever way I go. If I continue doing these, if we do these tapes like this, I'm going to fail in the prayer area. And the only way I can see that I can obey you in the prayer area is to quit doing the tapes. Lord, I don't know what to do if I have to choose between those two things. I'm going to abandon the tape ministry. And I'm going to continue in prayer because at least I know there I'll eventually figure out what I'm doing wrong. Because you'll get it across to me. See? So I said, well, Lord, tomorrow I'm just going to compose a little like apology letter and we'll mail it out to everybody on our list. Everybody, well, probably 300 people or less at the time. Maybe 400, I don't know. And basically, I'll say, for the time being, due to circumstances, we're going to have to discontinue sending the tapes. Perhaps later we'll be able to send them again. But for the time being, what do I need to do here? Okay. For the time being, turn around. What's he telling me? Just go ahead, all right. For the time being, I'm probably walking in the wrong spot. For the time, I keep saying for the time being because now I've learned how tape editing works. They'll need to splice that in there somewhere. See? Lord, for the time being, in that letter I'll say for the time being, we're just going to have to discontinue because I've got to continue in prayer. So that was my plan. Very next morning, that's what I was going to do. And I said that to the Lord and amen and went to bed. The next morning, fairly early, I get a call from Tim Stemple, who is our pastor's right-hand man. Our pastor's Dave Roberson there in Tulsa. Tim Stemple handles all the governments. He basically does everything else so that Pastor Dave can stay in prayer, meditation of the Word, fasting, and delivery. Thank God for Tim Stemple. Well, anyway, I don't see Tim on a regular basis. He's real busy, and we're real busy. But anyway, that very next morning, I do get a phone call from Tim. He wants to know if he can... I forget if we went to get coffee, but he wanted to meet with me, so we did. And you know how it is when somebody... You meet with somebody, and they're beating around the bush. I mean, they've got something they want to talk to you about, but they're reluctant. Here's the way the conversation kind of went. He says, well, Gary, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Good to see you. Because he'd been gone for a while. He'd been up in Ohio. I knew for about a month. And I hadn't seen him. I said, oh, I'm doing good. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. He said, well, how's Sue? Sue's doing good. How's your cat? How's your grass? Tim, what is it? Well, and he goes, well, he says, I don't even know how to approach you about this, Gary, but, you know, I just was on a seeking time, being quiet up before the Lord for about 30 days. Gary, I don't know how else to say this, but the Lord instructed me that Dave Roberson Ministries is supposed to take over your tape ministry. Lock, stock, and barrel. We'll duplicate the tapes. We'll print the address labels. We'll stuff them in the bubble mailers, put the postage on, and even handle the list until future notice. And I says, I feel like that's what the Lord's telling us to do. Now, y'all know the night before what I prayed, right? I think I made the right choice. What do y'all think? So I told him then what I had prayed the night before, and we agreed to do that, and boy, it was a blessing, and let me go back into prayer. Now, I've got a reason for telling you. I haven't forgot about the 4,000. Don't think I forgot about it. So anyway, so at that point, for about 2 years, Dave Roberson Ministries, the prayer center, really, they handled everything, and that freed us up back into prayer. I was able to spend a lot more time with the Lord. That was when a lot of these revelations that you're getting were birthed during that time. And but see, since they were handling it all, I didn't know how big it was growing. I didn't know the pace that the tape ministry... I didn't know it was going from a few hundred names to a few thousand names during that period of time. And so, oh my God, you know. Well, anyway... Now, I'm telling you that for a reason. Let me go back to something else. I'll pick that up here in a minute. There's a reason for all this. All right. In May 21st of the year 2001, I'm minding my own business. I'm in prayer at the ugly building, and which is my custom in the mornings. I have an ugly building where I go pray. It's nothing, you know, it's just there's no distractions there. And so I was praying over there, and part of what I do every morning is I have a little ring binder that is a point of contact for me. Anytime that Sue and I pray something and ask the Lord for something, according to Mark 11:23, what things soever you desire when you pray, or 24, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, for me then, I figure my father's not hard of hearing. I figure he heard me the first time. All right, so what we do is if we pray or ask about anything, then we'll date it. We'll talk about it first, make sure we're in agreement. Then we'll pray, and then we'll put a date on there. We'll write the prayer out. We'll pray it, believe we receive it, put it in that ring binder, and from then on, every day, we just thank the Lord for it until it comes. And it always comes. Now, that nothing about that is to move God. That whole deal is for our benefit. It's so we can keep the switch of faith on, in plain language, so we don't forget. And so we don't get wore out. See, once something goes in that ring binder, it don't ever come out till it's answered. And some things take longer than other things, and I don't know why. But I just know that from experience they do. So once we put them in there, they're in there. And we keep thanking Him for it. How long do you thank Him for it? Till we get it. You know? Now, every once in a while, I'll tell you this, as our relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit has deepened, He's also our counselor. We do our best to get His counsel when we do that praying. But then sometimes if it's a long one, we'll learn a few things in between, and He will counsel us to modify it a little bit. And that's okay, isn't it? That's part of us not being an orphan. I'm telling you, you'll see how this all comes together in a minute. I know it seems like a lot of details. Now watch. I'm over there minding my own business, and I'm going through. A part of what I do every morning is I just go through this ring binder, and any petitions that have not yet been manifested, it takes me about 15 minutes to go through that ring binder, whatever they are. And one of them, I have a confession sheet. Because we had agreed and were confessing a certain amount of money for Gary Carpenter Ministries. And it goes something like this. Thank you, Father, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of X number of dollars every month. Satan, you're bound off the ministry's money. Father, I thank you that the angels are loosed to cause the money to come in. That's all there is to it. Then you go on to the next thing. Well, I've been doing that for a long time, and sure enough, about that amount of money had been coming in. And I'm just going through that confession, just getting ready to say those words that day, May 21st, 2001. And the Holy Ghost spoke up, my counselor. Now, remember the subject. Receiving instructions that loose him to solve the problem. Now, I don't want you to miss this. This is the instruction. I didn't even know it till later. Now watch how simple an instruction I got from the Holy Ghost. He says, I'm just fixing to make that confession, and the Holy Ghost says, raise that amount by $4,000. That means a month. I heard it from the inside. I know it wasn't an external voice. I know you would not have heard that voice had you been in the room. Now that is possible. But, you know, sometimes everybody hears his voice. But this was one, he spoke from within the temple, and I heard him. So I just took my pen and X'd out the dollar amount that I was going to say, that I had been saying. I added $4,000 to it, and I began confessing that. So we're right, May 21st, we're right near the end of May, right? So all during the rest of May, all during the rest of the June, every morning when I do my prayer time, when I come to that page, now, when I thank the Lord that we have a certain minimum amount of dollars, it's $4,000 more than I was doing before. Are we clear on what happened? Well, remember how our ministry works. We don't send out appeal letters. We don't let anybody know of any needs that we have. We don't even put in a return envelope. If God speaks to your heart to give to us, I want you to have to get your own cotton picking envelope, lick your own stamp and put it on there. In other words, I want it to be God or I don't want it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I want you to know that you heard him. See? Fair enough? So we didn't change nothing. We didn't change our modus operandi. The only thing that has changed is my words that he gave me to say. Anyway, I can better not. I just reminded of Isaiah. Isaiah. You know, where the coal was taken, placed upon his lips. Boy, I tell you, when the Holy Ghost gives you words to say, that's one way that those instructions come that release him to solve the problems. Anyway, I'm confessing that amount. It's $4,000 more. Nothing in the natural has changed through the rest of May. All during the month of June, average is about the same. It's been averaging. But you ought to see the month of July. You can plot it on a bar chart, on a graph. You know, we use QuickBooks. And one of the things it does for you is plots everything on a graph real easy. You can watch it starting in July. Through nothing in the natural that we did, you can just see it. There's an increase in the amount of finances coming in. And we didn't send out a letter. We didn't even tell anybody we'd changed the confession. But there's a jump. And it fluctuates up and down. But you look at the next 12 months, even though it's fluctuating on this graph, you can just look at it by eyeball and tell the average is higher than it was the 12 months before. Would y'all like to know how much? What I did, of course, at the end of the next 12 months, I couldn't hardly wait. At the end of the next 12 months, starting with that July when it changed, I took that 12 months, I took the 12 months before, computed the averages, and it increased by $4,039 a month. Now, even the hardest skeptic, how many of y'all think that was coincidence? You'll never convince me in 10,000 years that that was a coincidence, but I'm not done yet. Now remember that question I asked you? How many of y'all would like it? Okay, now don't forget that question. I haven't. Well, so he did. He sent us an extra little over $4,000 a month for the next 12 months. But now here's the deal. See, I told you it changed in July. Near the end of July, I heard from him again. And what he said was, all right, the time has come for you to take the Tate Ministry out from underneath Dave Roberson Ministries, who's been handling it for you for 2 years, you know. It's time for Gary Carpenter Ministries to take that back in-house and you start doing it yourself. You know, we're talking lots of tapes now. That rascal has gone from a few hundred names to several thousand names in that period of time. First, when I heard that instruction, first thing I did was call Mary Corbett at the prayer center. And I said, is there any way you can give me a ballpark figure of what it's costing to produce and mail our tapes? And she said, there isn't any way we can tell you. We haven't never separated the two things. We buy all these tapes. We don't keep it separate, which ones are for Dave's ministry and which ones are for yours. Same thing with the postage. Same thing with all of it. So we can't give you a clue. So what do you do in a case like that? I told you I need instructions from heaven. Instructions from heaven. Praying, boy, my little lips off into the floor. I'm praying. And I get, the Lord helps me again. He says, he told us to do it in three phases over 3 months. All right? One phase was the data input. Now, just that phase, for where we are now, where we were at the time, that alone required buying a brand new Dell workstation computer. That's not just a PC that sits on your desk. Now, it's not a server. It's in between a PC and a server. You can run 10 terminals off a workstation. In other words, 10 people can be working off of that computer. That's what we had to have. How many of y'all know those aren't cheap? And at the time, we had one, count them, one little Telex 3-to-1 duplicator. I computed it real quick. In order to compute the number of tapes, I mean, to produce the number of tapes in a month that we had to produce with that machine, it had to run 56 hours a day. We're in trouble. I mean, if it runs continually, you know, no downtime. You just compute it out. 56 hours a day. We're in trouble. Now what do you do? Because phase two was tape duplication and production. Well, I'm calculating this out, and I said, Lord, we need duplicators. We need several duplicators. And that little telex, somebody gave it to us years ago, and it was a good one, but it's the kind that's not even expandable. You can't hook slaves onto that one. And, you know, most of these big... where you do duplicating, you have a master and you can hook up several slaves to it so that every run you're making a whole bunch, you know. So I start pricing this and talking, getting wisdom from Tim and people that's been at it a long time, and they tell me, don't even look at nothing else. You got to get, I don't want to advertise, but you got to get Sony and you got to get the ferrite heads. And I'm shopping around for prices, and by the time you get one of them rascals to your home, counting the postage and the taxes and everything involved, you're looking right at $2,500. And I've computed out we need three of them. And my instructions haven't changed. I can't send you no letter. I can't even let you know I need it. I'm going, oh my God. You know? Now, phase three, now we're talking about, and this is only 1 month apart. Phase one, 1 month. Phase two, next month. Phase three, postage. Some months, and our postage runs several thousand dollars a month. More than I used to make. You know what I'm saying? just postage. We wound up having to rent a Pitney Bowes mailing machine. Then we had to find bubble mailers, you know, where to get bubble mailers cheap. And I mean, it just goes on. We're talking M-O-N-E-Y. Do you understand that word? You know? Do you understand money? And I cannot send you no letter. I can't even tell you I need this stuff. You know, and so we're just doing it, bless God. We just, shunned alive. I mean, back to the prayer closet and praying. But glory to God, we had to add new employees. That's in the middle of that is when our middle daughter, our youngest daughter come on, Amanda. Then Angie comes on. Then Aaron up and gets married. We hire her husband too. We need help, do you understand? Well, that's payroll, people. And withholding taxes. And all the Social Security and all the stuff that goes along with that. See?
We just started praying.
Yeah, M-O-N-E-Y is what we're talking about, though. M-O-N-E-Y. Now, let me tell you the good part. Do you understand? See, we stand up here, we're supposed to look nice, smell nice, and be nice. We got problems just like you. And we got money problems like you got money problems. Now watch this, though. See, even the prayer center, they couldn't even tell me. They couldn't give me a clue how much it was going to cost. But glory to God, somebody knew how much it was going to cost. How much do y'all reckon after a year went by, on the average, how much do you reckon it cost for us to take that tape ministry back? Does anyone want to venture a guess? $4,000 a month. On the average is what it cost. Just so you'll know, you know, our ministry is still growing. We go through 1,000 tapes about every 3 days. Now he's increased that to 6,000 a month. And I still didn't have to send you no appeal letter. Somebody knew how much it was going to be. And somebody started having me confess it before I even knew I needed it. But now let me ask you a question. Let me show you a big part of why that happened. Boy, don't miss this part. See, I asked you the question at the beginning. How many of you guys would like it if the Lord sent $4,000 extra to your house every month? And boy, every hand went up. Now let me ask you another question. Would you still want that $4,000 a month if not one red penny of it was yours? Because that's exactly what happened with us. See, in the old days, let me just ask you, when I was legalistically minded, like everybody else is, and $4,000 come into my hand, let me just ask you now, how much of that would have been God's? How much of it? In the old days. I'm talking the old days. 10%. 3,600 mine. 400 is yours, God, because I really love you. I'm going to add an extra 400. Give you a nice tip today, God. You've been a good God. It's so silly. We've been so religiously brainwashed. Turn to Luke 16. This is my first closing. For those on my mailing list, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. Now, I don't want you to lose. We're going to close on this note here, but I want to make sure that you catch the important part there. We're talking about instructions that come from the mind of Christ that loose the Holy Spirit so that His power is released to accomplish the work rather than you trying to do everything in your own strength. Before we even go to Luke 16, he wants me to make sure you're getting some of these points now. Some of these tapes, trust me, there is so much more on here than you're hearing. Listen to these again. I know it seems simple and it is, but I'm telling you, these are some of the deepest mysteries in the world. And he's spoon feeding you. He's spoon feeding you. But let me just help you here for a minute. When you listen to these again, listen for these kind of things, okay? Normally, whether you're in ministry or you're just a head of the house, and if something happens where you need, well, what if you guys needed an extra $4,000 a month? See, now how do we normally think? We don't normally, our first thought is not God. Our first thought is normally overtime. Or hey, it's Christmas, they're hiring down at the, take another job. If you're in ministry, if you happen to be a minister, how do they normally do it now? Hey, if you don't send, we're going off the air. We need an extra $4,000 a month. We want you to maximize your credit cards. You got to dig deep. You got to show God your faith and give it to all. If you don't give, we're going off the air. If you don't give, we're going off the air. Oh, the sinner sees that on TV and makes them sick, and it ought to. When I hear them doing that, if you don't give, we're going off the air. I always go, go! If God can't keep you afloat, I can't. I'm tired of hearing it. Go! Get off! I've been young. I've been old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's one thing. See, the way we operate is because he told us to. But most ministries, we got these friends and missionaries. I mean, you never met more pure heart than these two people. We're going over there one of these days to Poland, missionaries to Poland. He started trying to operate like I operate, even though I told people, don't I say all the time, don't do what I do? Pray and get your own plan from God. Well, he's got a pure heart. He wanted to make sure he was doing it right, so he was started operating. I said, you can't do that. Out of sight, out of mind. There's nothing wrong with you letting people know what God has you doing. And then just leave it up to them whether God speaks to their heart to help you or not. I said, the only thing that really matters is don't manipulate them, don't threaten them with a curse, and don't promise them outlandish stuff that ain't true. You know? And for God's sake, don't send them no holy water from Israel. Or no slivers off the cross, or sand from the Jordan. Now, stop that. Especially selling it to them now, for crying out loud. No. Amen. But see, how does our mind normally think when we have a $6,000 or $4,000 a month problem? We go right to the thinking of man, don't we? We seldom even think about that Holy Ghost that's right next to us, right in us. We never even hardly think about just getting quiet and seeing what he might have to say. Let me ask you guys, rather than, you know, because in the old days I used to think, I mean, I'm not the same as I used to be. In the old days, if I needed... well, as I say, in business, back when I was in, you know, just regular, normal business, if we needed an extra $4,000 a month, I would never have thought of doing this. Man, I'd be coming up with new marketing plans. I'd be coming up with this and that, and you know how we do. But now let me ask you guys, how tough is this? How much sweat off Gary's brow was this? I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that Gary Carpenter Ministries. Wait a minute. Somebody time this. Somebody got a second? You got a second hand? Who's got a? You got a second hand on your watch? Time this. Say go. Say go.
Go.
Father, I thank you that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of zama zama dollars a month. Satan, you're bound off the ministry's money. Father, I thank you the angels are loosed to cause that money to come in. What time? 15 seconds. 15 seconds. That beats overtime. God can accomplish, the Holy Ghost can accomplish more for us in a single day than we could accomplish ourselves in 1,000 lifetimes. Oh, how the church needs to be trained to listen for the voice of the Holy Ghost. And see, that's not just for ministers. If it was, he'd only give the Holy Ghost to ministers.
That's right.
Why do you, who in here is not a minister? Not in full-time ministry. Be honest. You're not in full-time ministry? Well, I mean, okay, officially.
Yeah.
Officially. IRS-wise. You know. But trust me. the IRS will know when you're involved. I don't know whether Paul had to deal with the IRS, but I know I do. I'll tell you what. Glory to God. Anyway, now see, if our religious notions were right, well, yes, Brother Gary, that works for you because you are in full-time ministry. Well, now, wait a minute. All I did was hear the Holy Ghost and do what He said. So if that's only possible for ministers, then I got a question. You got the Holy Ghost? You're not in full-time ministry for benefit of the tape? No? No?
No.
But why do you give the Holy Ghost to you then?
I know. I'm corrupted.
What do you reckon He's in there for if He's not to guide you?
Amen.
Well, you can discern and listen and follow Him. There's a lot of good stuff on these tapes now. This is good stuff. If the church ever gets a hold of this, see, I tell you, there's a big pendulum swing. This is my second closing, and we're still going to Luke. There's a big pendulum swing that I'm seeing here now. Jesus, He says, I don't do anything. Now, the way He said it was, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. See, that used to mess me up because the way He said Father. How many of you know, though, one day He set me free. I was going through there, and He says, when they bring you before the magistrates and the officials, don't think ahead of time what it is you're going to say. For the spirit of your Father, the spirit of your father, who do you reckon that is? You got a fourth spirit now? You got your human spirit, or a third? You got the Holy Ghost in there, right? And now there's the Spirit of your Father. We got another one? No, Spirit of your Father is the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus was talking about. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. See, Peter could see Jesus and follow Him. But guess what? Jesus was following His Father by the Holy Ghost. What we've done is jumped from the kind of leadership that Peter had to the kind of leadership that Jesus had.
Yes.
Jesus was following somebody that couldn't be seen with the natural eye.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of His Father. It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And what happened to us? He took us from the natural kind of leadership that Peter had to the spiritual kind of leadership that he had.
Yes.
So Jesus, on this pendulum swing, He's going, I don't do anything but what I see my Father say it. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say it. And what He's getting all of that by the Holy Ghost. He's over there. He don't do anything without listening and checking and all the time in fellowship and communion. And here we are over here. Here's the church 2,000 years later going almost, we not even heard as there so much as be any Holy Ghost. Almost. We're almost like, yeah, I can shandai, but you know, it don't do me no good with my Sears bill. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will help you with your Sears bill. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will tell you this part, though. Before the week is out, I hope to God I convince you to spend more hours praying in other tongues. Because see, if you ask me, say, what's the number one thing? Gary, before you go back to Tulsa, because I am having a little trouble discerning the Holy Spirit. I see what you taught tonight in 1 Corinthians 2. I understand. I have a spirit. I have a spirit on the inside of me. And by that new nature, I have the capacity to discern the Holy Ghost. I see what you're saying. But Gary, just you and me. Just you and me, Gary. Let's talk. I'm having a little trouble discerning Him. What would you recommend? I would recommend spending more hours praying in other tongues. Because when you're doing that, see, Paul says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Yet who is creating the tongue? It's as the Spirit gives utterance. When you're praying in other tongues, that is one time for sure, that reborn spirit on the inside of you is in face-to-face fellowship with God the Holy Spirit Himself.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
If you want to increase your fellowship, what I mean by that, yes, sir, this helps people. Sue and I have been married, we're going on 28 years. Do y'all like Sue? She's hard not to like, isn't she? See, and I know most of you have met her, and if anybody asks you, says, do you know Sue Carpenter? And y'all say yes. See, and you do have a certain relationship with Sue. But see, I've been... Y'all think my relationship with Sue might be a little different than your relationship with Sue? See, our relationship is based on 28 years, going on 28 years of living together, fellowshipping together, through the good times and the bad times. 28 years. You reckon we might have a little different relationship and fellowship? Even though y'all have a good one, I'm not saying you don't with Sue. She likes you too. But see, you don't know Sue like I know Sue. Now get this. We can't have a prayer line and me lay my hands on you and give you my relationship with Sue. Now, I don't know what level of fellowship and relationship you presently have with the Holy Ghost. He likes you. He likes you a lot. Y'all like Him? You like Him a lot? See, the only way a real fellowship and relationship is not an overnight thing. It takes time spent together to really produce a fellowship and a relationship. That's why I'm saying, hey, this is not a once a Sunday, or, you know, just Sunday and Wednesday, just when I hear choir music. We need to live with the Holy Ghost. Very much the same way that I live with Sue. Food for thought, make sense to you? Hallelujah. All right. Now, see, I'm going to finish up on that $4,000 thing. None of that would have ever happened had I not understood this little part, just this little bit we're going to look at tonight, and hopefully we'll look at some more of it for the weeks out. Most of you all know that I teach a lot on kingdom finances. See, I taught a lesson years ago that's still available. It's called Stewarding the Pound. All right, now look at this. He said in Luke 16, verse 1. Now I'm going to stop you when we get to the really important part here. When I say stop, just look up at me, okay? And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Stop. Look at me. In our kingdom, who is our rich man? Isn't Jesus our rich man? The question he's asking all over the earth, does he have any stewards? What is a steward by definition? A steward is someone who handles righteously another person's money. On that Stewarding the Pound set years ago, I'd never heard anything like that preached. I didn't get it from no man. You know I didn't. I got that one from the Holy Ghost. And he showed me that first principle. Son, if you're ever going to become my steward of all the money that comes to your house, somewhere, sometime, there has to be some kind of division between what is yours and what is mine. How are you going to be my steward if everything is yours? Now, those tapes are free. We already told you how to get in touch, you know, get on the mailing list and ask for them. Call Stewarding the Pound. If you don't like them, I'll give you your money back. Now, but see, when I taught that, I'd never heard anything like that. I just knew what the Holy Ghost said, and I had no track record. But we started operating by what's on those tapes. We prayed and agonized and did budgeting and stuff that don't seem very spiritual. I mean, it's not fun to crunch numbers and do budgets. I mean, how many of y'all just get goosebumps doing budgets? Boy, I'd rather go, you know, do about anything than get, do a budget for crying out loud, and we'd have to alter it and everything. But we did it. And so this is our provision. Lord, we're going to live on this much. Not a percentage either. A set dollar amount. Anything that you send above that, that's your pound. We'll steward that for you. Whatever you say to do with it, that's what we're going to do with it. And I had no track record then. How does an extra $4,000 and now an extra $6,000 a month sound to you? See, and I know that we're just still in the proving time. Look at the end of 16. This is my third and final closing for tonight. See, at the end of this, he's talking about stewardship. Look at verse 10. This is the period of time we're still in. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. He's still watching us. He's still watching us to see, from his point of view, compared to what he wants to do around the world, $4,000 a month is chicken feet. It's peanuts. It's nothing. He's watching. Let's see, were they faithful at that level? Yeah, they were. Let's send them a little more, see how they do. Were they faithful at 4,000 more? Or did they start carving out a little piece of that for a new boat? Or whatever. What about the $6,000 level? Let's watch them there. Let's see if we find them faithful in little. What do you mean by little? 4,000, 6,000, peanuts. We also know they'll be faithful at 4 million. 6 million. Hey, God might want to send free tapes to every address on the planet for all I know. What do y'all? How many of y'all reckon he could afford it if he wanted to? Only if he can find a steward that he can trust. Because it will take money. Verse 11, if therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now look at verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's. I told you the definition of a steward. He's a person that handles wealth that belongs to somebody else. Who shall give you that of your own? We're just in the proven time. I'm convinced 4,000, 6,000 chicken feet, peanuts, not to be mentioned. You wait and see what happens when the Lord really touches our finances. Or should I say, His finances through us. And by the way, if we ever need it, we can get an increase in our provision. But you don't get it by stealing it. Well, let me ask you this. How do you get a raise on your job? Don't you go talk to the boss? How about we treat him like he's real? You know, you get a new baby born in the family. Boss, Lord, we need a raise. Go talk to him. He loves you more than you love yourself. You got a good master. Just don't ever confuse the two things. Provision and stewardship. I don't ever finish. I just have to quit. For tonight, I quit. Did that bless you? Give the Lord a hand for it. Hallelujah.